Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. Today, we are broadcasting live from the Body, Mind, Soul Expo at the beautiful P&E Center in beautiful downtown Vancouver, Canada. Vancouver is such a beautiful city, and I especially want to thank Chandler Armstrong and Brad Simpson of the Mind, Body, Soul Expo for this wonderful event. I will be the Master of Ceremonies here at the Expo from today through Sunday, November 1st. So if you are in the area or if you're in Seattle, like to come up, please come down to my booth. It's booth 506. I also will be giving three presentations at the Expo tonight from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. I will be giving a very special presentation from messages from Professor Albert Einstein, U.S. President John F. Kennedy, Leonardo da Vinci, Michel de Nostradamus, and Dr. Masaru Emoto on humanity's bright and beautiful future. Tomorrow on Saturday from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., I'll be giving another very special introduction to the Galactic Alliance and messages from them. They are a benevolent extraterrestrial group that I've been in contact with for about the past year and a half through my friend Scott Lemriel, who's written a wonderful book on called The Ceres Agenda. Then finally, last but certainly not least, on Sunday, November 1st, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., I will be giving another very special presentation on the wonderful work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto and the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, which sends angel water to the children of Fukushima to prevent them from getting cancer and distributes children's books worldwide, which teach the children the value of love and gratitude. The theory behind their children's books is that if you teach children the valuable lessons of love and gratitude between the ages of 3 and 12, by the time they're adults, they won't want to engage in wars that go on in the Middle East for 40 or 50 years or engage in crimes and domestic violence. This program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, Canada, and beyond. The purpose of my program is to raise consciousness and to truly make this planet a much better and far happier place. And I know that with all of us working together, we can do it. We can make this planet Earth a much, much better place. Out-of-this-world radio is also the fastest-growing spiritual, psychic, and metaphysical radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. And today's show will be really out of this world, I guarantee it. Our first guest coming on now, he's on the line, is a wonderful gentleman named Alfred Lebrat Weber. He's a famous Canadian lawyer who's been interested in UFOs for many, many years. He has a wonderful background. Then we'll be getting to him in just a couple of minutes. From 3 to 4, back by popular demand, Eric Pilgrim will be coming on live to us from California, Northern California. He specializes in removing negative alien implants. So many people enjoyed his show that I broadcast on August 28th. They've asked me to bring him back, so he'll be coming on again during the next hour. Next month, from November 10th through November 14th, I'll be giving a series of presentations and seminars on the Galactic Alliance, as well as psychic phenomenon and how to contact these benevolent extraterrestrials in Tokyo, Nagoya, Kamakura, and Osaka, Japan, from November 10th through the 14th. The presentations will be organized with a wonderful guy named Greg Sullivan of the Japan Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. For more information or tickets, please email event@jceti, that's jceti.org, or you can email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call my U.S. Cell number at 509-750-9793. I'd like to first thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol's designing my website, providing great support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start my program, and my dear friend Mitch Kohayashi of the Emoto Peace Project, as well as Hiro Emoto and Yasu Nimoto. And I've learned so much from the Emoto office in Tokyo, and I just want to thank them so much for helping me on my program. And of course, I'd like to thank my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show. My angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Quickly, I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. I'll be happy to give people two full psychic readings a month for $100 a month, and for $500, give people two full readings a month for 6 months. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, and I'd be happy to help anyone who has questions regarding the other side or reading. Again, you can just email me if you're interested at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. This program is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on this show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'm speaking fast because I love to get Alfred on the show. Alfred, how are you doing today?
Yes, fine. I'm very, very happy to join you and want to welcome you to our fair city, which is where all of my books, Exopolitics and Omniverse, have been conceived and written, and now we're seeing the light of day.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, a little bit about your background for my listeners worldwide who don't know, you know, would like to know more about you. You're a graduate of the Georgetown Preparatory School in Classics, Yale University, and Yale Law School, International Law, and you were also a Fulbright Scholar, International Economics, Integration in Uruguay. You've taught economics at Yale University and the Bill of Rights at the University of Texas. You were a general counsel to the New York City Environmental Protection Association and a futurist at the Stanford Research Institute. Well, that's great. And you've got so many wonderful things that you've done. It took me a while to read it all, but... So, in the interest of time, I just want to say that you've done some wonderful work, and you've also been featured on CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company, CBS, CNN, True TV, Press TV, and other mainstream TV networks. Your books can be accessed at http://, I think it's Amazon. What's the best website for you, Alfred?
Yeah, you can probably just go to Amazon, mm-hmm. and either enter my name and all of my books are there. It'll take you right there to the author page.
Oh sure. Now I have to ask you this, Alfred, and it's a little bit of a joke, but apparently, you know, you earned your law degree and you're working as an attorney. How come you just didn't stick with criminal defense and doing wills and trusts? How did you get interested in UFOs?
I never did criminal defense, and I never did wills and trusts.
Okay.
What happened was that in December of 1972, I was general counsel of the Environmental Protection Administration of the city of New York. Mm-hmm. And had a staff of lawyers there, and we were at the forefront of the environmental movement, which had just been started, you know, doing air quality, water quality, all of the things that people are talking about now. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had started reading books on the multidimensional nature of reality, notably Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain by Ostrander and Schroeder, who later became friends and colleagues of mine.
I remember I read that book, actually. It's a wonderful book.
Yeah. And I always felt that the sort of the positivist philosophy, which is the canon of reality that we have in our public life, where any publication of a multidimensional life has been prohibited, either in the mainstream media, in academia, in the government, in science, since 1952, when we had the UFO overflights over the U.S. Capitol, which made the front pages of major newspapers around the world,
right.
I saw that, you know, there I was at sort of the pinnacle of public policy, or a pinnacle of public policy in one area, which was the environment, and yet we were stymied of looking at the multidimensional aspects of what our planet was, mm-hmm. and all of the multidimensional stakeholders in our planet. And so I began to, at that time, coincidentally or synchronistically, John Lindsay, who was mayor of New York, decided that he wanted to run for president, and the administrator of the EPA decided that he wanted to run for mayor, so everybody was getting into politics, and I didn't want to go into politics. Mm-hmm. So I cast about and asked people for references, and I met a person who was a
Alfred, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Yeah, continue. I lost you a little bit there.
Yeah. And so I was connected to a person who was a professor of experimental psychology and an expert in parapsychology, which is the study of the multidimensional aspects of the cosmos, and also an expert on extraterrestrial life. And so I left city government and its particular paradigm, and within 6 months had published my first book in the multidimensional field, which was published by G.P. Putnam's, and stayed in this field, really kind of integrating science, multidimensionality, public policy, spirituality, and now have a book coming out. It's the first book that I've been able to find formally on the omniverse. We've had a long history of human knowledge of the universe, which goes back, mm-hmm. as they say, time immemorial, mm-hmm. and toward the end of the 19th century, the American novelist and psychologist William James, mm-hmm. coined the term the multiverse to refer to the collection of all the universes of time, space, energy, and matter.
Mm-hmm.
However, science, including string theory, has never been able to integrate within the scientific canon all of the multidimensional aspects of reality, which include the intelligent civilization of souls, the afterlife, the continuation of life.
Alfred, can you hear me there?
Yes, there's. It sounds like there are announcements going on, right?
Yeah, it's. I found the quietest place I could find in this expo hall, but I'm still getting a little noise. So we'll just have to do the best we can. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. So the long and the short of it is that a very fine publishing company, Inner Traditions, later next month on November 20th. Is bringing out an edition of my book on the omniverse. It's entitled The Omniverse. And what the omniverse is, it's a very simple formula. The omniverse equals the totality of universes in the multiverse plus the spiritual dimensions. What we have in the book, we've approached this from a scientific point of view, in the sense that Oxford University Press, which is a division of Oxford University in the UK, which operates, you know, in accordance with, quote, the scientific canon, asked me to write a book on extraterrestrials and the law. Well, my book on the Omniverse is an outgrowth of that request.
Oh, wow.
And so what I did there was that I said, I'm going to write this using the rules of the scientific method and within the scientific canon, because people inside of the scientific canon, and as of right now, one cannot teach about the Omniverse. The university system and the scientific canon excludes any study of the human afterlife, of the soul, of God, from a scientific point of view, other than from a philosophical or sociological point of view, from being studied. And,
sure.
And in fact, concepts like reincarnation are the reason why the universes were created in the first place. The universes are arenas where human souls that are holographic fragments of the original source can incarnate in the universes of time, space, energy, and matter, and take on a diversity of avatars or forms as humans or as avians, birds, or as fish, or and acquire experience and acquire what we call soul development. So
forgive me for interrupting, Alfred, but that is one of the most succinct and profound statements I've ever heard on the true nature of reality of this universe. Thank you for encapsulating that.
Thank
very
you.
Very well done. Very well said.
Thank you very much. So what we've come up with is a hypothesis. We call it the dimensional ecology of the Omniverse hypothesis, which is, once you go to the book, you can see that it's supported by prima facie empirical evidence, because being both a judge and a lawyer, as well as a scientist, I use, you know, we're used to using the law of evidence in courts.
Sure.
And for centuries, factual questions have been determined by the law of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So we import the law of evidence as a tool to support the existence of the human soul. And the hypothesis, the dimensional ecology hypothesis, is that we Earthlings live in a dimensional ecology of intelligent life that encompasses intelligent civilizations based in parallel dimensions and universes in the multiverse, as well as souls, spiritual beings, and source, some people call it God, in the spiritual dimensions. Together, the exopolitical dimensions, which are the universes, and the spiritual dimensions form the Omniverse. The totality of the spiritual dimensions, souls, spiritual beings, and God, function as the source of the universes of the multiverse. And thanks to a couple of scientists at Stanford, we now have a rough estimate of the number of universes in the multiverse, which is absolutely mind-boggling, and we could go into that.
Well, what's fascinating is that from what I've learned and read, Alfred, is that there are 12 different dimensions. We exist here on the third dimension. The fourth dimension is time, and the fifth dimension and higher dimensions, where there is a place where there's no time. And I've been told that the 12th dimension actually is where the supreme being, or the creator who created all of this, is. And applied to our own solar system, you know, we've got what, about 9 or 10 planets in this particular solar system in this third dimension. But if you go beyond this dimension into the fourth, fifth, sixth, and higher dimensions, I've been told there's actually maybe 20 or 30 other planets in other dimensions, which occupies this same space or close to this space where this solar system is. So your omniverse makes total sense about how there's a lot more than meets that, you know, going on out there, Alfred. And I just want to thank you so much for doing research in this area.
Oh, great. Sure. You know, we have come up with what we call the 10 top discoveries of research on the dimensional ecology of the omniverse.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the discoveries, number three, is of dimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
And we define dimensionality as the ability of intelligence to organize itself via dimensions or discrete bands of conscious energy. And dimensionality appears to be a key criterion by which the omniverse is designed, both in the spiritual dimensions and in the exopolitical dimensions, or what we call the universes of the multiverse. That's exactly it, exactly what we're saying.
Oh, absolutely. I think what's happening to this entire planet, Alfred, is that we're moving into the fifth dimension rapidly, whether we realize it or not. And that's making us question a lot of our values for this third dimension. And one of the ways this knowledge, this moving into the fifth dimension, is going to affect us is through the medical field. And the reason I say that is that I do a lot of work for the Emoto office, and I love their work, and they do such wonderful things to help the world. The Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, they have a Hado school, which they're having now. They have it once or twice a year. And they have these machines called Hado machines, or vibrational machines. And that machine, believe it or not, Alfred, I believe it goes into other dimensions and to determine by going into the other dimensions what's a good remedy for one's illness or disease, which can reach back to a past life. Or other relatives, even. Their success rate is phenomenal. I know it's extremely high using these machines, but they're successful because they don't stick just with this dimension. They go into other dimensions as well. But certainly your work is ground laying for this, and I think that in academic life and in government, eventually even the hard-nosed third-dimensional scientists will have to recognize that there are other dimensions out there as well.
Right. Yeah, sure. And so what we say, for example, by bringing the rigor of the scientific method of the third dimension and bringing all our findings as expressed in the third dimension, mm-hmm. that is, even though we're talking about the dimensions of the afterlife, we can use the scientific method of the third dimension, mm-hmm. and various databases such as soul memories of the interlife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you gather over 7,000 cases of soul memories of the interlife, you can treat those. And the regularities that you find within the methodology of the social sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come up with regularities that then confirm the validity of the memories and the validity of the content, which gives a reliable, empirical, and replicable. The most important thing is replicable knowledge about, say, the nature of the interlife, that is, lives between lives. And one of the far our findings is that the dimensionally ecology of the omniverse hypothesis and the science-based study of the spiritual dimension can facilitate and accelerate comprehension of true versions of basic concepts of reality, such as soul, interlife, and source, or God, by third dimension, earthling, human public, and by scientific, governmental, educational, and media organizations. Because as all of these various publics awaken, because, you know, our ascension through dimensions is like a rising sea raises all boats. Well, what we're doing in this book is providing the replicable evidentiary database and the findings establishing the existence of the omniverse, which is the next body that humanity is entering as and has to be aware of as we enter, quote, the fifth dimension. Right now, humanity officially is only aware of the universe and the multiverse. And with this book, they must become aware, or they have the tools to become aware of the omniverse, the existing methods of science, and the existing databases that exist that have been gathered according to the rules of replicable scientific methods.
Fascinating, fascinating. I just want to take a quick station break and just want to say that for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. I'm broadcasting from KKNW on 1150 AM out of Seattle, but I'm actually broadcasting from the wonderful Mind, Body, Spirit Expo here in downtown Vancouver at the Pacific National Exhibition Hall. And if you are in the Vancouver area, please come down. It's going to be an incredible event. It actually starts at 3 p.m. today in a few minutes. But we have on the, we're interviewing Alfred Labrimont Weber, a fascinating gentleman who has a really interesting perspective on other dimensions and other realities. Where can this book will be released, you say, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah. Just go to Amazon, and or you can go to our website, exopolitics.com, and it's featured there. And if you click on it, now it's being featured at a special price. It's being sold. I mean, it's like a $20 soft cover book, which is being sold, I think, for about $9.
Wow!
So you can pre-order the book now for the next days until November 20th. Just go to exopolitics.com or just go to amazon.com and enter my name, Alfred Labrimont Weber, or enter the Omniverse, and you can order the book. They brought in a special editor, the editor who edits Dr. Irvin Laszlo's book, who's an eminent scientist in this area, who has written over 100 books. So it's quite a rigorous scientific text, and yet it's very accessible. And so, like any author, I have high hopes for this book as being among the breakthrough texts that integrates and has science and spirituality coming together and is one of the key books that opens the hall of academia, both at the university level, at the high school level, at the grammar school, at the elementary school level, to allow the study of the afterlife to come back into normal life so that people are not relying on just the fragmentary text. One of the things that we found is that human religions, you know, through no fault of their own, misinform humanity about the nature of the afterlife and about the nature of our existence. Humanity is now being misinformed about the true nature of the soul, of the interlife, of the mechanisms of reincarnation, and ultimately the nature of source of God. Religions are a large source of such erroneous information because they're based on texts and ancient religious belief systems that may not be scientifically correct, and yet they're considered sacred as a matter of faith. Well, now we have much more advanced, replicable scientific information about the nature of the afterlife, and, you know, so that our science, we should return to that, and we can fault the Anunnaki intervention, the intervention of various predatory extraterrestrial races who started coming here 280,000 years ago or so or more, and started setting themselves up as, quote, the gods, and started feeding us a lot of baloney right. to keep themselves in power.
Right.
So
right.
now we're starting to take back that information.
Wonderful.
And to really get science-based information about the nature of our reality. And so one of the purposes of this book is to end, is to bring in scientific information about the soul, about God, about the interlife, about the afterlife, and to dispel a lot of the ignorance and fear-based and
right.
error-based belief systems that the various religions, which are really political organizations, mm-hmm. which are about power, about land, about wealth, about control of populations,
mm-hmm.
Have propagated over the eons.
Well, Alfred, I wanted just make this quick comment. I'm sure you know about the history of Emperor Constantine, who in 325 AD...
You'll have to speak up just a bit.
Okay. I'm sure you're familiar with what Emperor Constantine did to the Bible in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea, where the story goes that his wife was a prostitute, and she asked him to take out all references in the text that Jesus had said about karma and reincarnation, so that she wouldn't have to pay for her sins in her next lifetime. So he did. And what's funny today is that if you look at some of these lost texts which were taken out of the Bible at this Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, they read almost identical to what the Bhagavad Gita says about karma and reincarnation from what the Hindu texts say. So there's a common thread here that knowledge has been around, but it's been edited out of our history.
Yeah, and some of the information that we go into in the book is that we integrate this with modern society. And for example, if you go to public opinion polls, these are very mm-hmm. advanced, recent public opinion polls of the G20, where 70% of the GDP of humanity, the gross domestic product of mm-hmm. humanity, is produced in the G20 countries,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to be the most educated countries.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you take the public opinion polls and the profiles, only 7% of the population in GDP countries believe in reincarnation.
That
statement of the state of cosmic ignorance of the populations in the G20 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have supposedly the most advanced souls.
Right.
They're incarnating into materially the most advanced societies. And the whole purpose of the incarnation is reincarnation to gain knowledge and for soul development, and yet they're incarnating into societies in which only 7% of them believe in reincarnation, the rest are in abject ignorance, and they're kept that way, what they call the academic canon. And because of, for various reasons, academia and religion and other scientific prejudices over the ages have forced out the scientific study of reality, which includes the primary fact that all human beings are basically avatars or containers for divine souls that are incarnating here. And that is how one should study a human being, because a human being is not just a physical body, it's a complex system of a physical avatar and many other etheric bodies, including
That's
the soul.
Right.
And that is how the individual human body should be studied. And so, and that's the way out of dispelling the darkness and this world of war, disease, crime, and poverty that we keep on perpetuating.
Well, that's why I
education
know
and science.
Yeah.
So
if I may,
these are some of the high hopes that I have for this book. I mean, we have findings on the soul's role in creation. We have findings on science and spirituality coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just a wish list. These are findings that we have come to on the basis of replicable data and replicable evidence gathered according to the scientific method, which is how official knowledge comes about inside the academic canon on our planet.
Sure. I think, Alfred, if I may, I think things are changing and they're getting better. I know they are. And I believe in a very bright and happy future for humanity. And I know what you're talking about, but I think things are starting to turn around, and certainly your book is helping that, really helping that change.
Yes, I think things are coming about and are better amongst the people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are amongst the matrix controllers, mm-hmm, and the institutions, the matrix controllers use the institutions of government, politics, religion, money, and finance, which are all of the structural components that the predatory extraterrestrials led by the Anunnaki, the Orions, and all.
Reptilians, yeah.
They did a predatory intervention here that some call the Lucifer Rebellion.
Sure, sure.
And that we have lived under.
Right.
We were dumbed down from 12-strand DNA light beings in third dimension, which is what we were created as by a consortium of upper dimensional ETs, including the Alpha Centaurians, the Pleiadians, mm-hmm, the Sirians, and others. And we're now a race that has been intentionally dumbed down over the last 250,000 years, down to 2-strand DNA to be sort of a psychic slave status, and now we are awakening, so many different of our populations and incarnates who are variously described as star children, etc., are coming in with 4-strand DNA, 6-strand. So we are in the position of awakening, and at the same time, it is vitally important to understand the structural changes and transformations that have to take place, that is not only a matter of the individual human, but also of dissolving and deconstructing all of the barriers that we have, the planetary structural level, in religion, in science, in government, in politics, and in finances and banking. all of which have been set as traps to contain and enslave humanity. And so it's that area where the hard work is going to begin, because change happens individually, and then to have it work itself out through all of these structures that attempt to control and govern us, including the mainstream media, is a much more difficult task.
Right, right. Well, I still look at things changing. It's slow, but it's coming. And I know that, you know, I can say things, I mean, the things that I go into here on the air on my program, I feel, you know, I'm the purpose of my program actually is to raise consciousness to make this planet a better place. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who agree with me that we do have a choice, and that we can create our own beautiful future for not only ourselves, but our children and our children's children. And it's coming. I know it's coming. But that's why your work, too, is so important, Alfred, for bringing this to the forefront. And I know it's hard. It's not easy sometimes, but it's the rewards are well worth it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah, thank you very much. And this will, I think that the scientific findings in this book can help, along with others, to provide a basis to restore within society the importance, for example, of the soul, mm-hmm. and having a soul-based life, mm-hmm. and having the study of the soul, of the human soul, be mm-hmm. a center of human society. I know that if you look at other cultures, they will greet you with namaste, which means God within you, because source and the principle of the holographic principle is that the whole exists within each part of the whole, and that means that each of us is functionally God, or functionally has a fragment of God within us, meaning that, yeah, the whole of God exists within each of us. And that's a very important realization, because it will ultimately lead to a complete transformation of life on this planet. Life on this planet is now a reflection of a revolt and a rebellion by anti-God forces, which took place starting a quarter of a million years ago.
Alfred, I'm sorry, I'm having some trouble hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. That's all that
I guess
matters.
What we're what I was talking about was functioning, was that some of the findings and of this book supporting a return of focus in our society to the soul and to soul development, and the long-term positive transformation of power, economic, and social structures on Earth may in fact depend upon soul power. Mm-hmm. You know, the power of the individual souls, especially as we have what's called a transhumanist agenda, where we have a soulless artificial intelligence which is now propagating itself through plasma machines and trying to take over the planet and robotize humans. So
kind of like
this
data,
understanding
kind of like
data
on Star Trek.
We are a soul-based species,
right, and not
an artificial, inorganic, intelligence-based species, that this book is coming at a very vital time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the reptilians are actually, and the Ryans in particular, they are soulless entities, negatively based. They're biological entities, but I don't know if they've got a soul. I don't think so. They're not the same as the positive races. I know that.
Yeah, well, there are many different exophenotypes, mm-hmm. and there are many different exophenotypes of reptilians, and one particular predatory type, the Draco reptilians from Draco, right. are the ones who came in alliance with Greys from Orion,
mm-hmm.
and they are the ones that have propagated the negative agenda on this planet. It's the
That's
Draco.
True.
Reptilians.
That's true.
Disease.
Alfred?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm,
continue.
I'm
yes,
here.
Continue. Good, continue.
Now, we can begin to talk, I mean, just to give people an inkling of some of the findings that we've been able to come across by studying the universes, the multiverse, and the omniverse, and to give something of a balance of what life on Earth is like in comparison to life in the remainder of the cosmos, we now have two physicists, and this is discussed in the book, Andre Linda and Vitaly Vachurin of Stanford, who have actually made an estimate of the number of universes in the multiverse.
Hmm.
And what they have found is that number is so large that that there is no name for it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Not comprehend it. However, if we tried to write out the number of universes, the number itself of universes in the multiverse, that number, say, if we wrote it out in 12-point type, mm-hmm. would be more than 260 million miles long.
Oh, my gosh. My goodness.
That's how
wow.
many universes there are in the multiverse.
Oh,
and we are one planet inside a young solar system, inside a young galaxy, where there are over 100 billion galaxies in our universe
mm-hmm.
alone.
Sure,
so
sure.
This begins to give, there are one German supercomputer estimates that there are 500 billion galaxies in our universe, and there are 100 billion habitable Earth-like planets in our Milky Way galaxy, and 50 sextillion habitable Earth-like planets in our particular universe. So this begins to give us an idea of the vast extension of intelligent life in the cosmos, and the reason why we are feeling so isolated is that Earth was put into quarantine when we had that rebellion of predatory extraterrestrial species here, including the Draco reptilian, the Orion Greys, and others. We are in quarantine and isolation, and that is why when you incarnate on Earth, you think that it's such an isolated planet.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Alfred. I couldn't agree with you more. I have read where the Pleiadians have found that this universe itself is 10 to the 100th square light years long. That's the diameter of it, and which is a mind-boggling figure. And then, if you put that into all the multiverses, it becomes incomprehensible. It's hard to fathom the enormity of all the different universes within that realm. We've got a couple of minutes left. I just want to thank you, Alfred, so much for coming on today. And I just wanted to tell everyone to please hang on. We'll be having on Eric Pilgrim on. He removes alien implants, actually, during our next hour. But Alfred, go ahead. We've got a couple minutes left for your wonderful interview, and I want to give you the floor to wrap up your wonderful interview.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that in the course of researching and writing this book, which started in 2009 in Barcelona, Spain, where I was touring Spain in a book tour of the Spanish edition of my book Exopolitics. And I was being interviewed by the second largest newspaper in Spain for its big feature there. And the person who was interviewing me sat back and said, "Alfred, tell me how the universe functions. What's the relationship between reincarnation and extraterrestrials?" And at that moment, I knew that I had to sit down and really write out a lengthy science-based explanation of the relationship between reincarnation and extraterrestrial. Wow. And so some 5 or 6 years later, what popped out is a book on the Omniverse, the first in human history. And I hope that readers will enjoy it. And it's been a privilege to write it, and I hope that something comes of it.
Well, you'll help, you know, your work, and hopefully my purpose of my station as well is to raise consciousness, and Alfred, to make this planet a much better, much happier place. So, and making people aware that there's other universes and other dimensions, I think is a step in the right, certainly a really good step in the right direction. There's a lot more than just what you can see and feel. There's a lot out there that makes up reality. A tremendous amount of things that make up reality, including reincarnation, past lives, future lives, and I think that our bodies too. We ourselves are multidimensional beings. As a psychic, I often go into the other dimensions, and I look at the future for people. Sometimes look at the past, look at the present, and the explanations for my psychic readings. Are not adequately explained by third dimensional science. You just can't explain how I can have someone sit in front of me and I can read their minds and see what they're doing tomorrow and in the future, and then it comes true. But your book, I'm so happy, and I can't wait to get a copy of it and start reading it when it comes out.
Good. Well, thank you.
My pleasure, Alfred. And thank you for helping to I look forward to seeing you on Monday too.
Yes, that'll be quite the occasion. I don't have copies yet because it has not been published, but we can celebrate your birthday and continue our conversation.
Okay, great. Well, Alfred, thank you so much for coming on today, and my friends, we were having Eric Pilgrim on in just a few minutes at the top of the next hour. Eric has been removing alien implants. He's a fascinating guy. I had him on my show back on August 28th, and there was so much interest in the work he did that I had lots of requests to bring him back on. So please stay tuned for our second hour with Eric Pilgrim coming in from California. Thank you again, Alfred, for coming on today.